The numbers are not good. In fact, they are deeply embarrassing. Nearly 145,000 children, some 22% of Nevada's juvenile population, lives in poverty. According to a recent Annie E. Casey Foundation Kids Count Profile report, some 224,000 children, 34%, were in households where no parent had full-time year-round employment. Nevada also ranks in the bottom five for both education and children's health. The Silver State ranks only slightly better at number 41 when it comes to family and community. There are some bright spots in the numbers. Nevada's children experienced gains in 8 of the 16 indicators for child well-being. That included a 27% drop in child and teen deaths and a 22% decline in the teen birth rate. But Nevada's child poverty figures also translate into an increase in homeless teens. In the face of some pretty staggering numbers, we wanted to take a closer look at what was happening in Las Vegas. Joining us to discuss the issue of child poverty is Paula Zier. She is a coordinator at Title I Hope at the Clark County School District, and she joins us now to talk about the ongoing challenges of working with homeless teens and their families. Paula, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
The number of Nevada children in poverty has climbed about 8.4% since late 2007 when the Great Recession began. What about Clark County schools? How has the number of homeless students in the Clark County schools been affected by the recession?
This year, we identified 9,284 students in the Clark County School District, which is over 2,000 more students than we identified last year.
This is homeless.
Right, under the McKinney-Bento.
Almost 9,300 homeless students.
Homeless. And if I could clarify a little bit, because there are specific definitions under the federal law, and that's where my office, it comes into play within the Clark County School District. So it's not just our families that are in cars, on the street potentially or in shelters, but the law also looks at weekly hotels because it is somewhat of a temporary situation.
So finding places to stay, but not a permanent fixed place to stay.
And then I would have to say the other one is multifamily. So a lot of times when we have families that lose their jobs and then their homes, they have to look to other family members or friends to actually double up with them in order to survive.
So you counted just under 9,300.
Correct.
There may have been others.
Yes,
there may
definitely.
We've been told the economy is getting better. Jobs are being created, so the number of homeless teens in the district must, I guess by extraction, be declining. But that's not the case, is it?
No, I would say as a community, economically, we are, starting to see improvements. But I think there's the working class, and as we've right now, poverty level of our society that still struggles. The workforce in terms of obtaining jobs, a lot of times our families can't qualify for jobs and things like that due to challenges they've had in the past.
The 2013 Kids Count data book found 42% of Nevada high school students are not graduating on time. What role does poverty play in that, in delaying a child's education in Clark County?
Well, I think with poverty, there's so many other challenges that are going on in a child's life, and education isn't always the most important to the family because it becomes part of a survival piece. So again, looking at our schools and really providing those types of wraparound services that will assist kids in coming to school and being consistently there. So if we can provide some of the resources that they're not potentially being able to get at home because of the lack of funds, then, school will be that piece that can support them in being successful.
Mm-hmm. Now, also joining us is Dorian Stonebarger, who is program manager with Three Square Food Bank, which works with the Clark County School District. Dorian, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Dave.
You have said that 58% of CCSD students receive either free or reduced cost lunches during the school year. Does that mean that more than half of Clark County students are living in poor families?
Not necessarily, but there are over 182,000 students that we are looking at to make sure that they get their third meal of the day, meals on the weekends, meals during the summer break, to make sure that they're ready to learn when they get back to school.
The poverty has a particularly adverse effect on the academic outcomes of children, especially in early childhood. That's been borne out in study after study. Paula Zier, how does living in poverty affect a child's ability to learn? What is the direct connection?
Well, I'm sorry. As I had said before around the piece that, kids their home life is so unstable that potentially is going to affect the child being able to get to school, because then transportation is an issue. A lot of times with families in poverty, there's a lot less access to just basic need resources like health care. So if a child gets sick or someone in the family gets sick, again, they're not getting to school because of these challenges, and then they're not able to address the challenges. So again, that creates a disconnect with being able to get to school.
Mm-hmm. Doreen Stonebarger, I would imagine you've heard a lot of stories of these kinds of stresses that are there for poor kids that the rest of us just don't have.
Absolutely. It's, you know, hunger and poverty are definitely linked. And a child's body first devotes the calories to basic bodily function, then to social interaction, and then to learning, like a pyramid. And so if calories are scarce, it sets up a struggle for everything else in life. There are going to be developmental issues, there are going to be behavioral issues, and then issues with learning and getting to, you know, these are short-term and long-term challenges that they are going to have. So when talking about the graduation rates and, you know, setting that child up for success, it happens very early on.
Now, Paula, a lot of students don't want classmates to know they're living in a car mm-hmm. or shelter or multifamily place. How do you reach out to these students to make sure they have what they need?
So we're so fortunate with our 357 schools in the school district. We serve all of them. We have a direct connect there, whether it be a counselor or the office staff. So we rely heavily on that partnership that the families that are coming in, we identified through their proof of residency. So once they're identified, they're connected with the person at the school that can provide them resources around free breakfast and lunch, backpack school supplies. And then our office is there for any other challenges that come up to support.
And yet, a lot of families are still living in shelters, or they lack a home, or the kids don't want these facts to be known. The school district must be somewhat limited in what it can do for homeless children.
Educationally, I believe we are definitely addressing the challenges. The other component of our office is the partnerships with the community. So we work really closely with our shelters and nonprofits that are providing homeless services so we can connect our families with those resources. We have pamphlets in the schools that have just resource lists about clothing and food and shelter and transitional housing. So hoping to then connect the families with those resources so they potentially get out of that living situation.
Now, there's another kind of a subgroup that I suspect a lot of us don't even think about, which is to say homeless teens, kids in high school age who are not living in homes, sometimes estranged from their families. What are some of the problems you are continuing to encounter working with homeless teens?
Homeless teens, I think their biggest challenge, again, is that priority of school. And when we have students that are homeless, but the consistency is in the school, they're going to persevere over their challenges. It's the kids that we have that their home lives aren't equipping them to be able to actually be successful. So we're seeing kids that, you know, they're absent more, you know, obviously their grades decline because of that. They potentially don't have transportation. So again, kids just depending on where they are in terms of the level of homelessness, they're going to either do well at school or potentially not be. And again, if we can connect those kids with the services at the school, then our chances are better that then we can surround the child with whatever they need to stay in school.
It's not hard to find academics who will argue that inadequate education contributes to the cycle of poverty. It makes it more difficult for low-income children to lift themselves and future generations out of poverty. Doreen Stonebarger, do you side with that argument? Do you agree with that?
I do, absolutely. There is the negative feedback loop related to that, not only for the child, but for the family. If a child is hungry, then, you know, there's more health issues, possibly, you know, loss of going to school, missed school days, hospitalizations. Then is there a parent or someone else in the household that has to miss work in order to take care of that child? And so the cycle just is continuous.
Mm-hmm. Paul Zier, I would assume you agree with that. Definitely. Argument as well, that negative feedback loop is there. Mm-hmm. So, Dorian Stoneberger, how do we reverse that cycle in Southern Nevada?
Well, we work really hard. We work with Paula's office a lot, too, to identify children that are in need of assistance. And we rely heavily on other organizations as well to provide, you know, additional services outside of the food that Three Square is providing. We do have three major childhood nutrition programs to try to make sure that we complement the other services that are being provided at schools, like school breakfast and lunch. We have our after-school meal program. We have probably the listeners know most about our Backpack for Kids program, which is supplemental weekend food. And then the one that's going on right now is the Summer Food Service program. And that is access for 18 and under to receive free meals throughout the summer at various locations across the valley.
We are talking about hunger and poverty rates in Southern Nevada, how it happens, the consequences of having so many children in the valley in need. If you have a story to share with us, please do. Have you been in this situation? What have you done to make sure your child has enough to eat? Have you seen things in your community when it comes to food security? We'd like to hear your thoughts and your stories. You can join our conversation at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Post your comments or questions if you like at knprnews.org. And we are also on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at knprnews. Dorian Stoneberger, Three Square serves thousands of people in Southern Nevada. And about a year ago, something like 80% of people receiving food assistance of some kind were working before they received these subsidies. And I'm wondering what the numbers are like today. Is that still the case, or has the type of person you help changed?
Well, it actually, the face of poverty has changed. I think that people are finding themselves in tougher situations. Some are struggling that have never struggled before in life. And I think that there are several Nevadans that are, you know, living more paycheck to paycheck or even two paychecks away from financial ruin. And so we are seeing a difference in the face of poverty. We are serving more than 100,000 individuals monthly, and 40,000 of those are children.
For people who don't understand completely what Three Square does, tell us a little bit about how it's different from what people typically think of as a food bank. Because I understand that you're something of a clearinghouse as well.
Well,
explain that for us.
We are still very much a typical food bank. So we collect food from grocery stores. That is our food rescue program, and distribute that to agency partners throughout the valley who then get it out to those in need. But we also have some very large direct service programs, which were the three childhood nutrition programs that I mentioned earlier, as well as the senior program. And we do also provide help with SNAP, individuals signing up for SNAP benefits, which can be a huge relief to households with children as well. So I wouldn't say that we're different than a typical food bank, but we definitely strive to do some direct service programs as well.
Our number is 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Alex in Las Vegas joins us. Alex, welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fine, thank you. You're on the air.
So my question is, or my concern is, I think there's a disconnect between the schools and the children, as far as I've seen things like a kid won't have enough money on his lunch card, and then he's denied food because he doesn't have enough on his lunch card.
Paul Zier, Dorian Stoneberger, is there a disconnect between the schools and kids when it comes to things like lunch, not having enough money on the card? What happens in cases like that?
Well,
Paula?
Typically in a school, if that's the case, then they are required to feed the child. They would get some other type of lunch, but they are allowed to. So that's my understanding. I apologize. I'm not the expert on the food service department, but that is my understanding.
All right. Alex, thank you very much for your call. 702-258-3552 is our number, 702-258-3552. You're coordinator of Title I Hope with CCSD. Talk a little bit about Title I Hope, what it does, what it aims to do within the district.
So within the district, we are within the Title I department, and our role is to serve students that are homeless. So we are able to identify through the schools, and then once they're identified, we provide basic needs services that help them to be in school and prepared. So that would be free breakfast and lunch, backpack, school supply. Hygiene kits is huge for our kids because, of course, that's an item that we sometimes take for granted. Clothing and shoes. And then also when our kids get into middle school, there's fees for classes and things like that. So we are able to provide funding for that. So then kids have access to all the educational services at the school.
So you said clothing and shoes. Are there a lot of kids for whom you have to provide clothing
Definitely.
And shoes?
Definitely. We've served over 8,000 students K through 8 through the Assistance League of Las Vegas. They're our partner with clothing students. So.
Now, both of you have said there is a lot of need for services in this community, and you've sketched out a few of those just now, Paula. On the other hand, there is a lot of support in the Las Vegas Valley. So are we doing everything we need to do to get that support into the hands of those who need it?
I think we're trying. Mm-hmm. I think we definitely are trying, and I think we're headed in the right direction.
What should we be doing that we're not doing already?
Well, we are actually leaving a lot of federal funds on the table with regards to some of the childhood nutrition programs, for instance, the summer food service program, which was mentioned. We, last year, unfortunately, in Nevada, only served 6% of the students that are actually eligible for free or reduced lunch in the entire state, and that is a terrible statistic.
6%?
6%, which is below the national average, and we definitely need to increase that.
What accounts for that? I mean, 94%, in effect, left behind. Is it that they're not making themselves known? Is it that there's just not enough information being gathered?
Paula and I were actually discussing this earlier because we don't know if it's still a limited issue of knowing about it. I mean, a lot of flyers go out, posters go out, a lot of information is given to the schools. And so, you know, we have a lot of effort to get the information to the children. A lot of that is providing, you know, the initial flyer that has the phone number or the text line or the website address. So is it a limit because we're putting that one more barrier in front of them? We're trying to access places where we're getting to the children directly. So we're now addressing libraries and apartment complexes. So we're trying to go to the kids. I mean, in Las Vegas, in Clark County, it is actually very hot outside. So we don't know if it's a limited that if you have to walk, you know, half of a mile or a mile, it's quite hot in this concrete jungle. Is it that children are not allowed to leave their homes if their parents aren't home? Do the parents feel that they need to, you know, accompany the child to the food service areas? And so there might be a lot of limitations.
Nevada Kids Counts Executive Director Stephen Brown says the recovery may reduce the number of children living in poverty. But he says while he's hopeful, he's not confident that that's going to happen. What are the two of you expecting as Nevada's economy continues slowly to get better?
Well, we have noticed on our end that the free reduced lunch percentage has unfortunately consistently gone up. So from the 2008-2009 school year, 5 years ago, it has actually jumped over 17%. And so we haven't seen a decline yet. Of course, we're hopeful as well. And I don't know if Paula is noticing the same statistics with
increases.
Theirs.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
Is the economy the bottom line to all of this? I mean, will things get better for kids in poverty if the economy gets better? I mean, are the two of them tied at the waist?
I think to some degree, because, of course, if your families are doing better, your children are going to be doing better. And, again, I think through the collaborative efforts that are going on in the community and, again, raising the awareness of what it means to be homeless and to have that understanding so, again, we can then address the challenges that are happening. And we have a lot more schools that are creating resource centers in their schools so kids have a place to go, because a lot of times, again, in terms of access to things, you know, their rec center might be miles from them. So again, school provides that, you know, safe environment for them to be successful. And if we can keep kids in school and graduate, of course, we're going to impact our poverty rates, because kids are educated. They're going to be able to get those jobs that are paying more, and you're going to see that success.
Mm-hmm. Dorian Stonebarger is program manager with Three Square, and Paula Zier is a coordinator at Title I Hope at the Clark County School District. Thank you both very much for joining us today.
Thank you.